Environmental, and then direct flights, which is kind of more of a cost, maybe. I'll put over here,
starting the economics
and cost
silo.
And then terminal should reflect the values of small town and maintain that mountain town feel. So probably a little bit with history, and then we'll see how that goes. Okay. Thank you. Rose.
Mine are not that different. So environmentally sound and sensitive in design and technology. So that's one. Retaining the small town feel of the facilities and little things like ease of use, no jet bridges, good views, stuff like that. And then provide right-sized commercial air service year-round for the benefit of locals and visitors.
I bet it goes on that. I think the ones that you just pointed out, Rose, it's a little different than history or terminal reflects values, but it still has a small town, maintain that feel for the mountain town, so we're going to put it there for
That's
now,
fine.
But we can always...
I think people are getting confused. They're going jumping to the 30-year vision. This is three core community values. Mm-hmm. Just for us, not necessarily for an airport.
I don't follow rules well, Sarah. I didn't go there at all, so you have to. I apologize in advance.
Okay, I just read the question and answer.
I know. I hear you.
That's a good point.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I think we can glean a value out of these so far. So
yeah.
I am okay with that.
Good. But it's true.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I got to step into that. Hot again, but I'm going to see if I can go your way, Sarah.
Okay.
Continue to build the economic vitality of the communities of the valley. Maintain cultural opportunities throughout the valley, and maintain the quality of our outdoor spaces through conservation and preservation.
Did you call that environment?
Yep, I call that environment.
All right, Frida.
Well, I've got a lot of things here. recognize the importance of the outdoor recreational experience here, which may sound a little bit like environment, but I think it's more what people like to do here. And sustainability of tourism economy. I agree with the small town character, quality of the airport terminal and the experience. I liked when John mentioned in his remarks design excellence. I'd hate to see us do something like Vail's terminal or Grand Junction for that matter. They both, I don't think, would fit here. Comfortable travel experience is very important, I think. But I don't see that necessarily as a character, as a value.
That's a value. Sure it is.
Yes?
Yeah.
You think so?
I want to be comfortable. I want you to be comfortable.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I think you can look at it as, welcoming, right?
Well, it goes more than that,
yeah.
Mavis, I think, because right now it's a difficult experience to to the airport. Parking and trying to get a newspaper there or trying to.
And so you think, so what value kind of describes what you want the experience to feel like or reflect? Like what sort of community value?
It becomes a little hard to translate that, I think, but if it Bill thinks the comfortable travel experience
that's valuable to me.
Comfortable travel experience.
That's kind of a design question, right? Or a design point.
No, actually, it's not quite that, Michael. It's where do you park your car? How do you get to the airport? How do you leave the airport? What do you do when you're at the airport?
So it's like the entire experience.
Yes, it has a lot to do.
Sort of like ease of use and the ease of use.
Well,
that's what I put on my little thing.
That's a very good way. Yeah.
And we have respect and caring for people and animals. So
no, that's not it.
Respect for the welcoming experience.
Yeah. You could put welcoming experience.
Yeah, or ease of use. I mean, not very ease of use, either way.
Ease of use. Okay. Got that. I'm going to put yours right there. And you had also the economic vitality. And
well, sustainability of tourism, of our tourism economy.
I would put that under economic, in the economic.
Right. I'll put sustainability of tourism.
Economy, yeah. And I like the small town character, which is somewhat of a design. Oh.
And then small town character?
Yeah.
I think you're getting more.
She's not getting more than 30.
We're watching you.
Okay, and then Kirk?
So these are really more looking at the lens of decision-making and values and how they reflect independent of the airport. But starting one's environmental stewardship, and you know, it was every decision should consider the environment. And then number two is a little cheesy, but work hard, play hard. And specifically, generally people up here, I don't think, take the easy way out. Everyone works really hard to be up here. Everyone makes a decision to be up here. So any decisions we make, you know, don't just take the easy way out. Let's make it right.
So make it right.
Do the right thing. Like, don't,
do the right
don't,
thing.
Not the easy thing. Yeah. But it might be harder, but, you know, people up here tend to, I think, put on, and I certainly do. And then looking at the kind of independent, almost libertarian aspect of Aspen and Colorado in general, and I think we should do what is right for Aspen, maybe not what's right for other places, but really what was right for us.
Okay, so that kind of the same as do the, okay. Just kind of reflect it a little bit. Did I get that? Do the right thing, not easy thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Ashley?
I said a value was a generational lens, so recognizing that there's a history and there's a future, so recognizing those who came before and will come after. Go to the history one. I said connected and vital and open for all, so this is like an open and equity, so it's not just direct flights for those who can afford them or vital for those who can. So it's an access one. Are open. And then lastly, environmental stewardship and connection to place.
Environmental stewardship and connection to place.
We would have been disappointed if we didn't put that.
I have the geographic constrictions that we have in being in a small box canyon valley and taking into consideration the wildlife habitat. And then I had air and ground congestion. And, you know, going along with our character, we have bus lanes to get people out of their cars and into buses, and we have HOV lanes. Do we have HOV airplanes that would get a priority in landing and take off? And then air quality was my zone.
Air quality. And so that one was more of a transportation.
Yeah, definitely.
Congestion, ease of
interesting
about
HOV.
Yeah, I like that.
HOV compliance.
So that's kind of an equity. And equity and
accessibility.
Access.
Could you say HOV planes? I like it.
I almost would think it's environmental.
It's also environmental. What would you think?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, we have our HOV lanes, we have our HOV parking at Highlands and Snowmass.
What's the goal of all this, though? Is it environmental or access?
Well, it's a mixture of both. Yeah. You know, getting people out of their cars, getting less, you know.
So would you say...
She's talking priority, too, for like, treating planes as mass transit in some ways. Like you, if you're in a mass transit vehicle, you get priority over if you're in a single occupant vehicle, like the privates being the single occupants and the planes being the form of mass transit.
So are we almost thinking that it's more equity and access, or are we thinking that's more environmental?
So then don't we let the airlines do priority
I almost would
boarding any longer? They don't. So it is. It's an erosion of democracy.
I mean, yeah, I think we can put it in both.
But I think it goes in both.
So, HOV planes, not lanes.
Planes.
Oh, you might need to copyright that quickly.
Okay, my turn. So I have feels connected to and reflects place, both our history as a resort and a tight-knit community with a small-town feel. So
history?
Or?
Yeah, I think history.
I mean, that's kind of where we're lumping that small-town feel, okay. History and place.
What character?
I'm sorry.
Operationally functional and open to all is sort of, I'd say, yeah, access, probably.
Access and equity?
Yeah. And design, the operationally functional is kind of a design concern, that it works.
And I'll just put that over here. Operationally functional in welcoming and respecting. I don't know.
It's almost like a new category that we haven't touched on yet, which is design.
Yeah, like I feel like we have a bike and trail system that works, that's connected, and you know, we have a ski lifts and ski area design that works. There's just like the design that it works.
So do you want it to like fit in with the character of how everything already is?
No. It's just that it's designed well.
Like thoughtful.
We've hosted design conferences for years. Like we should be at, we should understand how to
so
make the iPhone.
That.
Like the, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other is that it leads by example and is a model for the world, like on the environmental front, on the design front, on the transit connectedness front. That might be under design too, or could be history. You know, this is sort of, you know, we've got these institutions like the Institute that are about, you know,
mm-hmm.
being the shining city on the hill
mm-hmm.
and being an example for the world. And I think that our airport should reflect that.
I'm gonna put it here like. Operational and design and leadership. Like,
I'll just throw out the 76 airport.
What?
The original airport, like, we're not original, but the 76 airport was just like what you said. It was a sort of state of the art. It had the solar panels and the solar game to the way it was faced.
Yeah.
And that was all big news at the time.
Gary Hart was here for the ribbon cutting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's
look what it did to him.
It took him down. But you know, that is part of our history, is that groundbreaking or innovation. And,
yeah.
Sorry. World class.
Nice.
Yes. Leader, leader.
Yeah. And I find that as we're going through this, it's going to be a nice bridge into our 30-year, everybody's 30-year vision, because I feel like...
I'm not going to be alive in 30 years. I don't have the 30-year vision. God, I've got 15 years.
Okay,
15,
so we'll give you... Yeah, we'll
Jesus.
Give you the...
There'll be a lively discussion about a 30-year
vision. Well, I think when you're thinking about something so substantial in this community, you got to go out a couple decades.
A legacy vision.
Yeah, legacy. Okay, Wayne.
It's a good one.
Well, my initial comments aside, I find a lot of this is rolling back toward the airport. Minor will require a little conversation, not now, but very limited future growth in all aspects of the community.
Okay, so you...
I think we haven't really touched on specifically growth.
Limits?
That's sort of the economics, right?
Yeah, I would put it with economics and growth.
Okay.
So this one, again, will require a little bit of conversation. Decisions,
terminal.
It's a value that I have, are Pitkin County, Aspen, and to a certain extent some of us village-based, rather than state, national, or international entity-driven. I used to be a planner, so forgive me. But basically what I'm saying is we were given a lecture about how the FAA is going to come in and eat us alive if we don't follow their protocol, and I'm summarizing a little bit. I think it's very important to do whatever we can to maintain local control of this process. It was important 25 years ago. It's probably more important now. Anyway, we'll let it go with that.
I think that that actually falls...
Kirk said something like that.
Yeah, like with Kirk's, because he just...
I agree with that.
Yeah, just like our unique community and keeping that.
And the last one is, it's environmental, it also rolls into growth, so good luck with this one. I think our visitors, the terminal improvements aside, I think our visitors have a wonderful welcoming experience by what they see or don't see when they first walk out of that aircraft. And that's a vision that I have, which is, let's not be an Eagle Valley. Let's not be a Vail. They come here for that view and for that experience. We can screw it up in a heartbeat. I think right now the air pollution and noise is barely tolerable, and sometimes it is not tolerable. They're experiencing that as we are. And so that's the third one.
So I think that means limiting growth or more service.
It rolls into environment, because if you have clear skies rather than the brown cloud, if you have less ambient noise, if there's less traffic on the highway, it does relate to growth. It's also a broader environmental issue, I think.
Yeah.
No, there's some place in there, too, that like arriving and seeing and knowing where they are, right?
Yes. Sense of place. That's already been said and well said.
And I'm putting it in history and place. Air quality over here. And then the history and the place, I think you're saying... prioritize that?
Yeah, one of the advantages we have is that Aspen is a real place. It developed as a community. It didn't just happen like Vail in 1967.
Yeah.
We are on our way to trying to replicate Vail in some respects, and that worries me very much for my grandchildren, for my daughter. Mm-hmm. Don't like the pattern that I see developing, and that's where I'm coming from as a vision.
Yeah.
Starting so with the vision.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily all growth. It's just the kind of growth.
It's the kind and quantity.
Okay.
You know, there's only so much you can do with environmental controls. If you have too much growth, you're going to lose ground.
Yeah.
I think that's basic to me.
So do you want us to put something under growth? Do you want us to create a growth? I put yours under... you know, kind of the whole welcoming and design, because that's the sense of what you want people to feel here. But then I also put a very physical, like air quality aspect, and prioritize place and environment that we are.
I think it belongs under growth. We are going to have as a community, this group, and hopefully broader discussion about where we are headed. Because we're headed there a development at a time, and eventually you get to a point where you say, how did this happen? Happens a development at a time, because you didn't think about it, you didn't talk about it. Mm-hmm. The airport, I can certainly be, I take umbrage to the idea that it's not a growth generator. It most certainly can be. I'm old enough to remember before DIA was DIA, it was nothing but wheat fields. You go out there now, we don't have the land here, but the concept of an airport not being a growth generator is just impossible for me to accept.
And Bill?
And mine are kind of process values.
Okay.
And it somewhat reflects what people already said. And this is process that has to do with a larger plan, environmental plan, or just a larger plan. We're asked to do a 30-year plan beyond my lifespan, a 30-year vision for an airport without having the benefit of a 30-year vision for Pitkin County. There is no updated master plan for the environment, for impacts, for infrastructure. There, it's old. The impact study, the work that was done, the EIS was about. Go ahead, you can point that finger at me.
No, I'll talk.
Was about construction at the airport proper. That's the environmental work they did. They didn't do it for the rest of the county. They didn't do it for everybody else. So that's number one.
Okay, perfect. And then I am going to remind you guys, Tuesday, the May 7th meeting, one of the main themes is growth. It's air service and it's growth. And so we are going to get actual numbers and
about the number of flights, the number of people.
Yeah, but no, just great, like greater population growth. And Cindy, it's Gabe, right?
Yeah,
is coming. So yeah, we have two consultants that are really going to dive into that. Yeah. So
the next one is a do the right thing, and it has to do with finding ourselves. This is engaging with the EPA, the feds, finding ourselves. Accepting or making a recommendation to the BOCC to create a Category 3, Group 3 airport, there is no retreat. Once we go there, there is no retreat. That is a dead end. There's no 3.5. There's no 2.5. We are stuck with a 3 airport.
We are 2.5 right now, kind of.
We're modified 3.
Yeah.
But to go to a full 3 hub with big airplanes, there's no retreat from that. So that is... No dead. That's a dead end plan to me. Like there's, we're boxed into that. Nothing
some
we
growth.
Can do. And so that's a
planning
process value. And the other one is, what is so important? What is the emergency that we're doing this now? What's the emergency? Why is this all of a sudden bubbling up? The EPA, the FAA, had us for a review in 2022. What, how did this get bubbled up to now? We were told, process also. That's because we're going to lose our regional jets. They were no longer be making that regional jet. The first meeting we had here is we found out from airport manager that is not true.
So
the notion that we're thinking about us are thinking about a 30-year plan for airport manufacturers, airplanes is just crazy to me that we're even contemplating it, because even the airlines and the manufacturers don't know what the hell they're doing, but they are making a regional plane that will replace the one we've got. So again,
but they will talk to us about that on Tuesday.
We have lots of conversations about this so far. We can have some more, but again, that's the sort
and the
of
the other one is the terminal itself.
Terminal separate. Mm-hmm. Terminals is really a separate issue.
But.
That's
and this is point. Just clarifying. I'm not trying to argue.
Good.
I just want to
like
get our facts straight. Is if the terminal is rebuilt, the whole thing has to be addressed.
No. You'll find out. No.
Yeah. Because you can't. You're going to have to change the parking.
Yeah.
Change
parking terminal, all that. But that is
you
not
don't
about
have to touch the runways. Is what you're saying.
You don't. No, that's totally separate.
But the terminal square footage can be a limiting factor in the number of people at any one time.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Myself.
Yeah, and we actually have an aerial, so we can look at that. But I don't want it to get too far
I don't
want to
derail
away from
it. I just
wanted
to clarify
vision stuff.
Is there any? Is the funding from FAA? Are we expecting funding from FAA?
It's already happened.
We've already had a
terminal.
Two big trunks.
Yeah.
Terminal separate deal.
Yeah. Huge amount of funding.
Yeah, but they have
not for the terminal. Some for the terminal, perhaps, but
yeah, no,
huge amount.
A huge amount for the terminal.
Of the $450 million, most of it would potentially go to runways. And taxiways, not the terminal itself.
Well, I guess to go back to my question was, are we expecting funding from FAA or from the federal government to do the potential construction on specifically the terminal?
Yes.
And is that funding contingent on also doing the runway?
Yes.
That's the terminal thing that
I've seen. I don't know. I listened to that lawyer carefully, and we've screwed. I don't know that.
So,
we'll see. We'll have to drill down on that.
Yeah. So yes, my understanding from talking to him and talking to the folks from Kimley Horn that are actually doing the program management. Yes, it is tied together.
So let me clarify for myself. So we really want to do a terminal remodel. In order to do the terminal remodel, we need to do the runway.
No. So the runway is what's the focus first.
Yeah.
And the bigger issue. Because for us right now in this process, because it's not compliant with Group 3, which we are. So basically there is...
I understand the ramifications of that, but I guess... So
we have an 80-foot issue,
correct,
is what we have.
But
we have...
I guess going back to, I'm sorry,
Bill's
comments, what's the ramification of that?
So there are...
Today.
Today.
Yeah.
Like, nothing right now.
Okay.
I mean, if we decided not to do anything, that's absolutely fine. Like, but the FAA could, because we've been awarded this money... could potentially, and ask for it back.
That is an idle threat, unsubstantiated by history and the FAA. It is so rare. It is so rare, and the conditions are so onerous to make that happen. Yeah. That was a very, very unfortunate threat that guy made about the clawback money.
Yeah. So have we received notice? Has there been a formal action taken, or is that speculation at this point?
No, speculation.
Could I make an observation?
Let's actually go. I'd like Ellen. To finish with Ellen.
Okay. Let's finish and then come back.
Right. And
keep
then
your
I,
thought.
Yeah, keep your...
Oh, I will.
Yeah, because I think... because I think some of these thoughts will...
We have one more.
Yeah, will be helpful when we start talking about vision, too. Ellen.
I'm really taking the word character, that focusing on character and community character, mm-hmm. and other people have touched on these, but let me just expand what my thoughts are. I want the small town character, but the character of the small town that I envision and that I want and why I moved here is not I want it all and I want it now, which is what Aspen is becoming. I want it all. Queen, it's a great song. They're way ahead of their time. I want it all, I want it all, I want it all, and I want it now. The Aspen character that I want to see is, to steal another quote, is ask what you can do for Aspen. Ask not what Aspen can do for you, to paraphrase Kennedy. Ask what you can do for Aspen. And I think we're losing that. And that is a community character that I will work very hard to try to perpetuate and reinstill, because I think the town is changing. So anything at the airport, I want to see reflect that. Mm-hmm. I want to see it with the small town values people have talked about. And what I mean by small town values is it's a town where if you see a piece of trash, you can bend over and pick it up. You're not going to expect some servant to pick it up or some government employee to pick it up, because your kid goes to school, you're working here, if you have pride in your community, you vote, you know your neighbors, and I would like to see anything with the airport reflect that kind of value, that we are a small town, we're not Vail, an artificial town, and that one of the reasons that people come here is because it is a real town, and there's some value in that, in tourism, but it's not a phony small town, it's a real town. And the other one that people have touched on also is respect for the environment. I would, and I consider the water, the air, the noise. We can't start talking about what it means to respect it if we don't know where we are right now. And I've been suggesting, and I would sincerely suggest it again, that before we can decide what anything is going to be done at the airport, we need to know what the situation is now. Mm-hmm. How much volatile organic compounds are coming out of the tailpipes of those jets onto the kids at the Powder Pandas? And when the county commissioners accepted the EIS, and I said, well, how come there's no study on air quality about what the airplanes are spewing out? They said, oh, the FAA doesn't require it. And I'm saying, what? That doesn't make sense. So we need to know what the current situation is in terms of the water, the runoff from the airport and so forth, what's eventually getting back into the river. In fact, I was at another meeting today, and I heard that some of the de-icing runoff has to go to processing, to the dump, and get reprocessed. I may have heard that wrong, but it doesn't just disappear. So we have water, air, and
so
noise.
Really just
what are we actually hearing now, and not an average, but on the 4th of July when mm-hmm. some of those big honking jets take off, what is the situation now? Yeah. So one's a reality check, and the other is let's get back to real small-town values.
Okay. So I think, Ellen, I captured that by saying small-town values in terms of sense of place. Ask what you can do for Aspen, not vice versa. Uh-huh. And then respect for the environment. Get baseline data on air, water, runoff, and noise at maximum. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I say something about the process?
Yeah.
I'm talking about this process, this whole thing that we're in at the moment. I share that Bill's concern about this last part of what we're supposed to do today. We've had two meetings. Mm-hmm. I'll speak for myself. I don't have the information I need. I have my instincts, but mm-hmm. I don't have the information I need to begin decide what a 30-year vision is. And I'm trying to, don't cut me off, please. I want to get to the point. We're going to have enough trouble trying to distill this. But I think it's unfair to ask this group. We don't even have shared facts at this point. People don't know what the terminal means, what it means to move the runway. And we're going to have a vision 30 years from now. I think it's premature. We may get further along tomorrow.
Okay, so I'm just going to interrupt you because this task was from the Airport Vision Committee.
I know that.
And it is it can be a pie-in-the-sky vision. What is your ideal vision for what happens at the airport? And it doesn't, at this point, need to be based in fact for them. That wasn't the ask. My ask. It's what they would like to hear from us. So, I hear you and I understand, and I think on Tuesday we're going to start getting more of that meat.
The 7th.
Sorry, what did I say?
The 7th.
Oh, yeah, the 7th.
Is that Tuesday?
That's Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Next.
Yeah, so Tuesday we're already going to go into growth. We're going to hear from all the airlines.
Right.
There's going to be a panel. And we're also going to hear from an air service expert. And so you are going to start getting that information, and this is a long process.
Yeah.
We have until December.
And that information might be very valuable in terms of what a vision. I'm a fact-based person.
Yeah. No,
and so it's difficult
I
for
understand.
Me. I mean, I can, you know, my vision is, I think we're fine. That's
okay,
not a vision.
I'm going to write it down, though, because, I mean, what if it is? Like, what
well,
if that, I don't think that you... I don't think you need to sell yourself short. I think what we need to hear from each one of you is really what would you like if you had your druthers and you could just do whatever
but
you wanted.
Is part of it, too, just, you know, I was part of the Institute's transportation forum.
Yeah.
One of the things that we were told kind of early on, and I think I can feel happening, and I have a personal tendency to let this happen, too, is that we all want to become professional airport planners as part of this process, and that's not what we're setting out to do. We're trying to give a values filter to the professional airport planners. And if we sort of mistakenly think that we are going to, around this table, become professional airport planners, that's dangerous and a mistake. What
and
we
impossible.
Should be trying to
impossible.
Impose upon them are the values filters that we want them to use when they do their planning.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they propose something back, we say, yes, that meets the values criteria that we try to ask you to use as a filter. When we're, and it's like, I want to go to into like, a, well, why don't you do this and that, like become a planner, but it's we're not professional.
But I do understand Wayne as
Wayne
a fact.
I'm not suggesting that, to be clear, that we plan the airport.
Yeah.
But we don't have the basic facts to create a vision. We've got three aircraft, the Mitsubishi MRJ-70, the Embraer E-175SC, and the CRJ-550. I don't know a thing about those aircraft. Any one of those three might be perfectly acceptable now or in the future.
But I think what, you know, when the BOCC put you in particular on this committee, what they want, which maybe they did, but I think that they thought there was something unique about your lens of the part of the community that you're in, how you see that character, and they want to hear that. And I don't necessarily think they want like nitty gritty details, but really more of like, you know, your bigger vision, like you think it's fine. I mean, that is what I heard from you, but I don't know if that's exactly how you feel.
Well, that's oversimplification, but... Yeah.
We could use some new toilets.
Yeah.
I mean, but like, I mean, I think from a growth perspective,
there's,
like, do you not want it to grow? Like,
a
would
value
you like it
I
to?
Would stick with.
Yeah.
I think what some of us are struggling with, not to talk for Bill. And
no, go ahead and talk for me. Go ahead.
is that, I mean, just your listing of the aircraft, who knows what kind of aircraft will be in the future.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even in 5 years.
Right. And look what they've done. Who a few years ago would have imagined that security would lead us to not be able to park in front of the terminal?
Yeah.
And
let's get that back. So I think, like, thinking about this, like, what kind of design could
we
have?
It's almost impossible for some of us, at least, to imagine what kind of technical changes there will be and in the future.
Yeah.
over what period of time? I think it's a question that is almost unanswerable.
Okay. But maybe that there's a value in that it's adaptable to the future that we want. So if we can't say, like, because I know that this CRJ-550 is not a new plane. That's existing CRJ-700s being reconfigured. It's not. They're not building more of them. It still has a lifespan that's going to expire.
But it's way out.
Maybe.
10, 15 years. Maybe the planes we got now will last another 10 years. No, they're not going to the scrap heap.
Yeah.
But, Michael, you're right. And that was my first the 30-year vision was flexibility. Mm-hmm. And you said adaptability. That's the first thing I said. And then next, welcoming and comfortable. And I don't think our airport is comfortable now. I don't think it's welcoming.
It's outgrown.
And I'm afraid we'll lose the flexibility if we go to a stage 3 airport, because there is no turning. The attorney that was here is right. The FAA could conceivably, they have legal right to claw back money. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons they would do it is if you accepted $450 million from them to build a bigger airport, then you turned around and said, we changed our mind, they say, we want the money back. Mm-hmm. That's the lack of flexibility. That is a dead-end, terrible dead-end street, I think.
Well,
I happen to think flexibility is ultimately important when it comes to the terminal.
That's true.
Because, as Wayne said before, I don't want, and he doesn't want, and I think, Bill, as I understand you, you probably don't want either, the airport to drive the growth in the valley. And the way I see preventing that from happening is to create a flexible terminal that can be expanded over time to take in additional gates as the economy, or as the valley grows in population and in needs. I mean, we've just finished a winter season of somewhere close to 70% load and 70 to 80% of occupancy in our lodges in both Snowmass and Aspen, and that doesn't include what's going on in Basalt, which is another addition onto that. And until we get a larger bed base, which will happen in the next 5 to 10 years, because we've already got lots of projects that have already been approved, and more on the way.
Hope they're not.
Well, they are. I mean, A1A is approved.
Yeah,
base
it's approved.
Village
not more
approved.
Approvals on the way. Okay, wait.
The tree farm's about somehow going to be approved, or maybe not. But these are all projects that are on the board now that will increase our bed base, and that will be, in my opinion, the determining factor as to how many more, if any, gates that we need at the airport.
Well, I think
and that's all about flexibility.
Okay, I'm going to just interrupt you guys because I think we're getting off the rails just a little bit, but I think...
It's great discussion, but...
It is.
I want to do that discussion after we get Gabe's facts, and Gabe is a consultant who's going to give us those numbers.
And at the same time, let's move what you guys have been saying into your vision. Our next...
And I don't know. What value at this point in the process does a description of a vision provide you?
Me, specifically? How are you?
For the people. You report something back to somebody who's asked us to do this.
Yeah,
what are you going to tell them?
So the vision committee asked us to do this, right? The overall arching committee. So they want to know.
John Bennett asked you to do this?
Yeah.
Okay, what are you going to tell them? That's the mask I'm asking.
Well, this is what we need to do.
He's on that too.
I don't think so. He's on the focus group.
Oh, he is.
So what we need to hear is what each one of you wants from the airport. And, I mean, scrap the 30-year. And I'm not like, what do you want right now?
I want a better plan for the county that an airport fits into, not an airport that we're going to fit into a county without any plan, without knowing what's happening down there, with if we're going to build a whole lot more housing, if we're going to build more hotels. What does all that mean to
but
a plan?
Just for a second. So giving this information, what you think, what Alan thinks, what Ashley which may be vastly different, giving all of this information from all these working groups to the vision committee, because they need to distill this. They're the final filter, and they ultimately, in December, are going to recommend what we do with the airport to the BOCC.
I hear you.
Yeah, so that's what
just
I'm doing.
My question, I'm with Wayne. I don't know how we're doing here enlightens anybody here, or what you can pass on to the to John Bennett and that crew about our vision.
Actually,
I think there are huge holes that are precluding us to have a vision that others is just a teeny little thing. I mean,
some of us answer the we're going to go around the room and describe the vision. You might hear something that you think, well, that kind of makes sense, or that gives you a sense of where you want to start.
But Bill, I actually think your comment that what you want is a plan.
It's a vision.
I think you're selling yourself short, because you actually just gave some.
You just gave a great planning vision.
Yeah.
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 So I think we ought to write that down.
Yeah.
And
so
I
mean, I'm gonna.
Do you want me to do that, or you?
No, I think we both can. I'm gonna just move. I think I'm going
to
move.
I like that. Integration with the rest of the community. Yeah.
So, do you want to...
Go ahead.
No, I'm not. I am listening, and
we need a better plan.
Okay. So that's what I'm writing. Better.
Plan, capital P.
Better.
Not just the airport plan, but we need
look
a better
community. Look at that.
There you go.
And I'm going to say valley-wide.
Right. I think that's very important valley-wide, because this airport is used by people up and down the valley.
It could be beyond the valley.
It could be beyond.
Sure.
I'm not sure it really is at this point.
I have a quick question for those of you who are talking about growth. When you're talking about growth, are you talking primarily about tourist growth or people who live in the valley?
You really can't separate the two.
Yeah, I don't differentiate.
So both. You're talking about just growth as far as just number of people coming into the valley.
Yeah, it's fairly straightforward. If you have more tourists, you have more services, you have more employees. I don't think you can separate the two, really.
Okay.
Commercial growth is driving employee growth, which is not really tourism necessarily. But
the demand is
there. The demand is there. And every community treat sales tax like it's methamphetamine. And so they want to see more and more growth, because they depend on sales tax because of the bizarre financial structure we have.
Do you want that? I mean, is that your vision, is to either limit growth or address growth? Okay.
Absolutely.
I have a question, for Wayne, because I think I agree with some of what you're saying, but I think that you're not taking into account the sort of the second home phenomenon.
Oh, I am, and that's what I'm afraid of.
But you're calling that commercial?
I'm calling that growth.
Okay.
The second home, I think the demand for a bigger airport, whatever we call that, whatever your vision is driving part of this process. I think people want to be able to come in here. That's what happened. And forgive me, 25 years ago I was sitting in a similar situation where we were going to lose our air service. We were done as a community. We were losing the BAE 146 at that time. We started this process the same way. We're losing, oh my God, we're losing our aircraft. I don't believe that.
Yeah.
I didn't believe it at the time. I don't believe it now. I do believe that second home growth, that a larger airport will spur second home growth. Is it easier to get in here? Absolutely, I think.
But Wayne, a good hospital spurs growth.
Sure.
A good school system spurs growth. A great cultural,
our natural environment.
All of that spurs growth. Yeah.
What we're not good at as a species of what is enough. We can't leave things alone.
But don't make the airport the bad guy.
It's the monster at the table. I mean, that's what we're talking about hospitals.
But
we're talking about the airport.
But, so then we just
bomb in the hospital and have just little medical examining rooms.
We're talking about the impact of an airport and our vision for the community.
So, guys, we don't actually need to debate everybody's view here. Yeah. Like,
but
I would
just
love,
trying to say we are here for the airport. Let's make it the best we can. The same with what they have done with the music festival, the Aspen Institute, and the hospital. Make it.
So let's jump to you.
Be.
So that is that your vision?
My vision,
like what,
for a better airport is that it's welcoming, which someone else said, that it's comfortable, that it's practical, because it isn't now, and that it's flexible.
Okay.
For instance, if five flights can't get in, there's a place for people to rest and lie down. There's something for children to do. And there's meals on both sides of that wall.
Okay.
And a place for your pet to go.
And a
God knows we need pets, See, service animals. Yeah. We need those.
Lisa, do you have?
I would say the reason I was asking about growth is because I just think that's very unrealistic. World grows. I mean, our population is growing. So this valley is going to grow. So I would like to see the airport be able to accommodate growth within its current confines.
Okay.
So we don't have to get too much bigger in the airport. Like, and that's a design feature where, you know, you can... I know we've outgrown. John Kenny said that they were at maximum. They were thinking of having to cancel flights because they couldn't take any more people in the actual airport. So I don't know where that goes, but we don't have room to get much bigger, but we are going to grow. So how do you handle that?
Are we going around the table? Or
I'll come back.
So that's,
I won't forget you.
For a 30-year vision, that's something I think, because of our space, the confines that we're in, how are we going to accommodate that growth? They're going to have to plan this thing to be really well planned.
Let's see, Rose?
I would sort of echo that a little bit, and I would word it as the airport being right-sized for the community. And for, to me, what that means is that it can provide a level of air service that visitors and locals can take advantage of. And if, you know, we hearken back to when there's one flight a day in the off-season and it's $900, nobody, to go to Denver, nobody can really use that unless really money's no object, which we have plenty of those people here too. But I just sort of feel like right-sized as when I think 30 years in the future, it's not that we're going to open the spigot day one and say, oh my gosh, let's, let 747s land here or even 737s land here.
Yeah.
But how do we have that, stay ahead of right-sizing our airport so that there's enough competition in commercial flights, and I'm really focused on commercial flights, for locals and visitors to be able to afford to use it.
Okay.
I think I pretty well agree, as I kind of said earlier, that growth is important, and you can't stop growing. When you stop growing, you die. And that will happen to Aspen, and it will happen to this valley, if this valley stops growing. So there has to be some growth, and the right formula of that growth is going to be the critical part, and what the right factors that determine that growth. But I think as far as the airport is concerned, I would almost like to see that the airport not be built in anticipation of growth, but in a sense catch up or in conjunction with growth.
Okay. I think this, I love what Lisa and Rose both said.
Okay.
And, accommodate growth within the current confines and right size for community, visitors and locals. That helps me think about what the vision should be going forward. And as far, I don't think that the airport should drive growth, but should be accommodated.
Okay.
Which is, I guess, what Lisa said.
Yeah.
I think unless the airport can accommodate growth, we will not have the kind of community that I think a lot of us feel is what is special about this valley.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you know, the cultural, the intellectual, the recreational activities that we all, I think, not just second homeowners, but people who've lived here for their entire lives, enjoy. So we need an airport that accommodates that.
Kind of building off what you said, I mean, growth for the sake of growth or stopping growth for the sake of stopping growth doesn't really mean much. Like what are we really trying to accomplish? What are the symptoms of growth that affect us that we don't like? I would go to say, you know, environmental impact, congestion, I'm sure other things out there. But, you know, so in trying to mitigate some of those things, my vision would be, you know, make it a LEED certified project, both in the building itself, mm-hmm. and then also in the way the operation is run. I'd like to see the airport follow the mission and values of the county, which puts environmental stewardship as the first priority. I'm kind of a little disappointed in the list here looks at growth, but it hasn't really mentioned environment once. And again, I'm very selfish of across the highway. Mm-hmm. But you know, I really think and then going back to what I said initially, I mean, do the right thing. If there's an easy decision, the right decision, you know, again, making the environment a lead or priority in any decisions. I don't know how to really say any more than that, but I think, you know, definitely prioritizing the environment in any decisions.
Well, lead, it seems to me, is an obvious one that we all ought to agree on. You know, LEED certification.
I would actually say we should put our money into something better than LEED. I think that LEED has become kind of a baseline standard that we can do far better than. Which kind of, I guess,
the uninitiated like me, says something that you're designed.
So you want to go?
I was going to say, I feel like when. We don't need to dive into LEED, but when you do the thing and you put the plaque, then you feel like you're done.
Okay.
And so what I was going to say is that I think that we need to create this kind of immersive experience that says this is the Aspen way in all aspects. So these are our values, environmental stewardship and recognizing history, and kind of forces anyone who visits to step into that Aspen way and behave the Aspen way from the time their feet hit the ground here.
Okay.
So it's not like some corner that has a few historical photos or over here is the token compost bucket, but it is. it's an undeniable, you can't ignore it experience that you just arrive and you feel like, oh, this is different. You can't just go from your LA mansion, first class, get here, get to your second home without having to be kind of hold into the Aspen way and at least recognize it, and then hopefully we can rub off a little bit as people have that immersive experience. And I feel like there's so many token things, and LEED sometimes feels token. See, we have a LEED building, we don't actually do anything, but we did it. So that immersive Aspen way, I think
entry into
the
immersive,
I think it just like an experience that invites people to say, you know, this is Aspen, and we invite you to behave and think a certain way in alignment with our values while you're here, and hopefully take that with you when you leave. Yeah.
Can I add one thing back to mine, I guess? sorry, I apologize. I'm guessing that the operations of the airport has a mission statement, as any business would.
Yeah.
I guess I like to see environmentalism included in that.
Okay.
The actual business entity that is the airport.
Oh my God, I can't stop anymore. No, I think it's just. What is it? Okay, so operation.
Their mission statement, okay. I think. Business, yeah.
Thank you.
I really like what you said about the counties driving statements or whatever, how environment is number one.
Yeah, which,
and it's
yeah.
barely even.
It, yeah, they're on the wall actually, right behind yeah. Michael, and I
it's,
think yeah, they're.
Nothing's number one. There, it's a Venn diagram. And
core focus. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. It's the natural and built environment.
Yeah.
What this is the county mission statement?
Well, the county has a strategic plan. And the strategic plan has to do with...
Yay!
This is it. Yeah.
It's on their mission and values on the website.
Yeah. Yeah.
High quality of life is number one. Or the
Is where they all meet.
Yes.
But I think it's
a sweet spot.
Yeah, it's actually pretty interesting to drive like what we're tasked with, because it really is a community character lens. I think it could be an easy out for us to be like, oh yeah, that's exactly what we how we want to...
Want to
see it.
I think if we're going to talk the talk, we have to walk the walk. We talk the talk really well. I don't know if we walk the walk.
Okay.
Years ago when we were building the new mall downtown and they were putting in, you know, we had just adopted the Canary Initiative, and then we put in a gas fireplace that's blowing fumes up into the air. I'm like, what? And they put in a visitor information booth with glass windows that totally let the air out all, you know, all day long. Mm-hmm. It didn't make sense to me at all. I questioned, and they told me it was a done deal and don't question it. So I think if we're going to talk the talk, which is a great talk, we have to walk it, and it's inconvenient.
Mm-hmm. It's not easy.
So...
Doing the right thing.
Yeah, do the right thing. And so I have one, you know, because this is just stuff I wrote down, you know, for my vision for 30
yeah.
years. And... I haven't heard, and I don't know anything about the development of airplanes, but are there electric planes or hybrid planes?
Yes.
And hybrid, it could take off and land quietly without polluting, and then maybe use fuel while it's going across country.
The other way around.
I don't know if that's an option, and maybe before we do a whole airport change, we should find out if that is an option coming. I don't know. And then one of the other things I just wanted to add here at the vision is, I just was in the Newark airport on Saturday. I don't know if any of you have been there lately.
Yeah.
And every restaurant had iPads. Like, it would be an iPad here and an iPad here, all the way down here. And that's how you order your meal. And it looked like a workstation. It did not look like someplace I was going on vacation. Like, if you landed in Aspen Airport, you would not want to think you were on vacation if you were sitting at a workstation.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is really weird. And there's no food. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, if you have a child on this side and the parent on this side, you can't even see what your kid's doing over here. So anyway, that was like, oh my God, in my vision for Aspen Airport, it's not that.
Okay.
So that's where I am.
I think there's a lot of good stuff coming out, so I just want to reiterate some of it. Yeah. Did Ashley just leave to be gone?
She's got a kid. Yeah. She's children.
Yeah.
Anyway, so something she said, this sort of like this clear signal that it's different here, and there's a different set of values here. You know, some museums, because they're trying to get people into a different frame of mind, will have you like walk through a very small maze just to break with the mindset that you've entered with, and to get you to understand that they're trying to get you to look at the world differently on the other side of this mm-hmm. wall. And I think that particularly with, you know, privates now, you can sort of, you're cocooned in your experience. You get on the plane in LA and it's almost like you teleport here, and there's very little value shift that happens between there and here. So I think that, you know, saying, you know, you've arrived at a different place. There's a different expectation of how you, you know, behave here and live your life. And we have a different set of values and we hope you embrace them. I love that idea. I think Kirk made a really excellent point about identifying the symptoms of growth that we don't like and figuring out how the airport can help undo or work against some of that. So mm-hmm. yeah, I think vehicle trips is something that people are reacting to a lot. And a lot of the angst that we have in the community is just about that, is cars flowing in and out of places. And so connectivity to transit, you know, we're a trailblazer. We have the, you know, public transit system that is the envy of, you know, resort towns all over the world, literally. And we should continue to lead and be a trailblazer there. I think it's this idea of it being right-sized, sort of appropriately scaled, but also realistic with regards to the future, I think is important. That because when you just choose to underbuild your infrastructure, you get what we have today. Mm-hmm. A lot of what's being proposed as a sort of an approach to how to deal with growth is being tried. So mm-hmm. we've actually done our best to choke off tourism, and what we have is a 20-year explosion in the second home industry and all the vehicle trips and impacts that come with that. You know, the Limelight Snowmass is the first genuinely new, well, Viceroy maybe, but in Aspen, you know, there are no new hotels that have been built. They've just been replacements. Aspen has been blocking tourism infrastructure at every turn, and what you get as a result is a uninhibited growth of something else that you never asked for. 20 years ago, were people saying, hey, let's become a second home dominated economy. I don't remember anybody voting for that. But it happened because of the things that you said no to, that you thought you were controlling your future, but then you got a future, a different future that you maybe never really asked for. So I think that sort of viewing this as an opportunity to redirect the future, it's better, I think, to take the approach Kirk proposed, which is figure out what it is that you don't like about growth, the symptoms that you don't like, and try to use the airport to fix some of that to the degree that you can. And I think, again, this...
what would be an example of that, Michael?
Connect transit. You know, so 3% of the people getting off planes in Aspen come into town using public transit. There's a rapid transit stop literally right there. And you know, so what that could mean, you know, there you can have, you know, direct to your lodge luggage transfers so that people just, it makes the guest experience better. You just get off the plane, you get on a great public transit, you get to your hotel, you get to your room, your luggage is there waiting for you. It's really pleasant, and it could reduce vehicle trips. As just one example.
That's a good example.
And I think, I don't know where it was said, but the sort of the equity issue, you know, I did my homework and went out and talked to 10 community members, and, mm-hmm. you know, price is a big one. There are people who just feel that they are priced out of engaging with the airport at all. Like so they mm-hmm. do the math on hotel room, parking, and they've got 4-plane tickets they've got to buy, and they're middle class, they're driving to Denver. Creating an airport that is more economically accessible, I think, would be a good thing to strive for. Now, is it going to bring a series of trade-offs that you don't like? Maybe, maybe not. But I think it's at least like having more. A lot of the experiences here are really egalitarian. You know, you can sit out the music outside the music tent for free. You can get locals passes to all sorts of stuff. I'd like to see the airport kind of try to embrace that ethos. Maybe it's working with the airlines just to say, hey, how do we get locals' fares back in the off season?
Remember those books?
Oh, the coupons. Mm-hmm.
I still have some.
Coupons.
I sure do.
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
Yeah,
I remember those.
Okay.
It's interesting, the millennial generation, of which I have two, are much less motivated to buy cars. They don't have cars at school or college. You know, they can Uber wherever they want to go. And I think that's going to be something that really grows, Michael, where you get people who come in, don't want to rent a car. They'll take public transit if their bags get delivered. You know, that's the big one. How do you get your bags there? I think that's going to grow. That's a really good point. Something that could happen.
And that's
less parking.
Yeah, and I think maybe it was Kurt that said it, you know, we've got to look at the economic model and the economic model for the airport, because right now the airport relies on rental cars. Mm-hmm. Every year I go, why don't we do this rental car agreement? You know, and they're like, they really rely on that funding. So how do we work it out longer and longer and longer so that, in fact, one day the rental car
isn't
be the situation that's the driver for a financing of an airport.
I want to add one thing, too, because I want to echo what Bill said, because I hear this all the time, that there isn't a there isn't enough regional thinking, that like there's sort of isolated master planning that's happening, you know, just happened at 1A. That was basically an isolated master plan because Aspen could never be bothered to come up with a master plan for the whole town. The communities are actually master plan averse because they involve entertaining the idea of adding this here and adding this there, and where do you want your lodging, and where do you want, you know, do you want employee housing in your core? So I totally agree that there should be regional visioning as part of this. The problem is the community's approach has been to reject that.
Still is today.
And I think I would add that you know, really bringing, you know, a regionalism approach to this process is, you know, should be critical or encouraged to whatever degree.
Yeah. Alan, you're the last one. Do you have some more?
Wayne.
Wayne,
sorry.
Wayne. Have I said
enough? No, well, I started with Wayne.
Well, actually. Just a quick thing is growth management is always a loaded term. It works. It has worked. What doesn't work is political will. And what I'm saying is we need to have the political will to have this discussion. If we want to be a bigger community with a bigger airport, let's have that discussion. But let's not have it out without just the airport is not going to have that conversation. It gives us an opportunity to have a broader conversation. And what we're really talking about is not growth management, but change management. There are a lot of ways to handle growth. Redevelopment is one way to do it. Instead of having incentives for new development, which is the way our economy is based, have incentives for redevelopment of property. The teardowns get preference, for instance. So there are different ways of looking at it. We've been happening, and there was a decision. It was a conscious decision made many years ago in Pitkin County. We wanted large homes on large properties, and that worked, but we didn't account at that time for the vast number of window washers and pool people and landscapers and everything else that occurred from that. So there wasn't, after the growth management frenzy, which I love and wish I was part of the 70s, everybody thought the problem was solved. And growth has been happening incrementally, you know, by vote sometimes, or under duress, like we're losing our air service, we have to come up with a plan for the airport. I'm one of those people who believes that this is an incredibly lucrative market for airlines. They will find a way to service this location. I don't think we need larger aircraft. I think that's going to lead to changes that we can't possibly manage. And I think it will allow the FAA then to start dictating even more than they currently do. If you become a regional hub, you lose another, as Bill said, you lose a whole nother level of control.
Could I just say something quickly, Bill? Wayne, I'm sorry. And, you know, so far, I think what I've heard is an aversion to a regional hub. I don't think anybody, I didn't hear anybody say anything positive about a regional hub, and I think I heard Sandra with her example of the iPads. That was what a regional hub looks like, because you got to give people someplace to wait while they're waiting to change planes. And I don't think any of us are thinking of a regional hub. Am I wrong about that?
Well, I'm gonna disagree with you, because that's the next step. If you want to accommodate it,
but that's,
you have to go to the next step of being a regional hub.
I think next week it's going to be really interesting, because you will ask those questions directly to the airlines. Mm-hmm. And I think the cost analysis in general, one, because of our geographic constraints, and two, because of weather and actual flyability.
Right. And there are like three other major factors. Right. One is the airlines have tremendous incentive to continue to fly regional planes here,
sure. Yeah.
Because they pay the pilots half as much.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, so that 76 or less passenger plane is perfect for Aspen in a lot of ways. One, it creates connectivity to the other airports. It's and hopefully they'll this will be very eye-opening, I think.
Yeah, and
there's an assumption that the If big planes can come, they will automatically come.
Not economically.
And that's not true.
They're not going to make that decision, but I want you to ask them that. I mean, and get that information.
I'm sorry, ask what?
The airlines, like whether or not they want to be a hub. Do they want to be able to fly? Will they fly bigger?
I don't think you'll get that answer from the airlines.
I don't think so. You're not going to get a 30-year plan from the airport.
No, it's up to us. It's not going to be up to the airlines.
We need to dictate to them, not the other way around.
Well, I think we need a new airport.
Well,
you mean a
terminal?
You guys, let's let Ellen.
Can we talk about consensus? I think there's consensus. I didn't hear anybody say we don't need improvements to the terminal.
The terminal is what I mean.
Right.
You need
I didn't hear anybody say that isn't necessary, and I agree. I think it is necessary. What we've not talked about is we've got an airport that will accommodate all of, as far as. We don't know what performance characteristics there are, but performance characteristics change all the time with new engines and things of that nature. We can accommodate virtually every regional jet made now with a 95-foot width on the runway. Once you go to 118 feet, then you start introducing planes like, it was a study done, I don't know if you remember that or not, they were touting the next great aircraft was done for Pitkin County to come to Pitkin County, 737 MAX 8. Remember that aircraft? That was the plane being discussed.
Yeah,
being discussed is this is what your 118-foot wingspan limitation. If you do away with that, you can get the 737 MAX 8.
So I think
let's finish with Ellen.
Yeah. Wayne, you do actually have a vision, which we've heard.
Oh, I do.
No, you do. But I mean, I think that you were saying that you didn't, and you do, and I feel like we have heard it, and I'm glad. Ellen.
Well, I agree with a lot of what's been said here. One thing that scares me, though, with all due respect, is if you stop growing, you die. That scares me.
What scares you? That statement?
That statement. If you stop growing, I think if you stop thinking and if you stop planning and changing,
right.
You die. But I don't see growth as a necessary part of
staying alive.
You have to get a reservation now to go to Hanging Lake. You have to get a reservation now to go to Conundrum Hot Springs. There are too many rats in the maze.
But
there are.
My point to the group was
the world's that
way
now.
May
that's
I finish?
Yeah, growth is happening.
We don't think anything of when, you know, there's a big show at Belly Up and the fire marshal says, can't let any more people in. It's full. And I think we have to come to a point where we say, if we want to keep the valley what we love in the valley, there's going to come a time, and this is an exaggeration, however, when we say, it's going to change forever if we keep stuffing more people in. And I've seen it with, you know, what's happened in just in the decades I've lived here, what's happened to the west end of Aspen, with the FAR is getting bigger and the houses getting bigger and everybody maximizing every cubic inch, it has totally and forever changed the west end of Aspen. It's not neighborhoods anymore. And I think they can use that as a metaphor for Pitkin County. You cannot just keep stuffing more in. And employee housing is growth. It is growth. And that needs to be factored into the growth. So I may be on one extreme, but I think we have to face the fact that there's going to come a point where there are too many. We just have to say, no, everybody doesn't have a constitutional right to come here. It's going to ruin.
Are you saying on Highway 82?
But you can't get.
Yeah. I don't understand.
Metaphorical
what you're saying.
One, yes.
Yeah, it's metaphorically, and by that
yes,
we can do that. And
yeah.
The other point was, I agree with the people who say this is backwards planning. We need to see the big picture of what we want to see for Pitkin County or the Valley, and then the airport needs to fit with that. Rather than saying, what do we want for an airport before we've thought of the big picture?
No growth.
No, I'm not saying no growth. I'm saying that...
Zone it like you mean it.
You can't stop growth.
That's what she said.
But you can manage it.
Well,
we could manage it. All right, when did you last spin to Paris or New York City?
Last year.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Well,
you
not,
have to have,
that's
but
a,
do
that's,
we want,
I don't want
to ask
be that.
To be New York
City?
I know. All I'm saying is any place that's desirable is going to attract people.
There are examples all over the world where they said no more.
Yes.
And it's not
Give me an example.
Cinque Terre in Italy.
Yes. It's an excellent
She's been, it's pretty busy.
Yeah. But I'm just going to say it's very busy.
No, but there's no new growth. Yeah. You can't
but you guys, wait, let me get back to, because I want to make sure I capture.
Like I said, I think this, I'm on the extreme, but I think we should consider that. There is such a thing as too many people. It's going to ruin what we
But I want to capture, like, here. So you just...
Only if you let it be.
And by the way, there was a time when the county commissioners did not allow rental cars at the airport, and there was a time when the county commissioners did not allow the police officers to have air conditioning in their cars because it wasn't environmental friendly, and you ought to try doing a 16-hour shift in a bulletproof vest with no air conditioning. But county commissioners have, at some point, said, no, we don't do rental cars in Aspen because it's not environmentally friendly. That was a long time ago. I'm saying it. I know it's possible because it has happened. Do we want to go back to it? I think at some point we're going to have to make some hard decisions, and we can't say we're going to accommodate everybody who wants to come in here. Everybody's going to be able to do everything they want here and live here and be subsidized and have everything here. It's just that this place can't do that. It's just because we're confined by national forest. We're a box canyon, basically, and the growth has to be limited, in my opinion.
Okay. So, but in the vision or in the purview of the airport, improvements but not growth.
I think that you can change, but to say that if you don't grow, you're going to die. That I'm just saying, speaking for myself, that scares me. If you don't adapt, you're going to die. But I don't. I can't agree with that. I respectfully have a different opinion.
And I don't want you all to agree. Yeah. I want to hear all of your. I mean, there are lots of us in the community.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
All of this conversation has been around commercial aviation, but we haven't addressed private aviation.
General
aviation. And I thought the whole thing that started this thing was when the people that bought those new Gulfstream 650s that require the really large wingspan was the one that started driving the new taxiway and runway separation. And so then I heard at one point, you know, they were going to require another terminal. And so we haven't even addressed any of the general aviation stuff today.
Well, I mean, some of this is overreaching, the growth aspect.
No, I'm done. I just wondered, is this part of the whole...
One of the things that I'm going to bring up on Tuesday is that for those of you who were here for the first ASC Vision meeting, John Peacock, somebody said, have you thought about collaborating with RIFLE? And John Peacock said, I have reached out to my peers in Garfield County and they're not interested. I went down to the next Garfield County BOCC meeting at a public comments. I said, is that true? You're not interested in talking? They said, no, invite us to the table. And I don't want to speak for the Garfield County commissioners, but my sense was they'd be very interested in talking about general aviation. Perhaps commercial, perhaps not. But the point is, we had a county manager who stopped the conversation right there. And based on my experience at that county commissioner meeting at Garfield County, and then also the next day, Garfield County had a work session, and John McBride went down with me. And we asked the same question, and they said, invite us to the table. So there's that whole discussion, because for general aviation, RIFLE it has advantages, it has disadvantages. One of the advantages is it's a whole lot safer, and it's more accessible. Disadvantages, it's, you know, 70 miles away. So anyway, I would like to see part of our planning process include possible or not, but at least
it's
regional planning. Let's not take that off the table.
And that goes
now.
Back to Wayne's.
It's
interesting. In one of the meetings, walking to the Dewar Hoosier, there was the man walking, and we were chit-chatting, and he was from Eagle Airport.
And
he was at the meeting because he said this will impact us.
Yes.
Because they have hangars for these private planes that can go over there and park in a hangar.
Yeah. Yes.
And so that's what I was going to say. Is Kirk and I went and met with the general aviation manager, what's his name?
Jonathan Jones.
And I asked him that question.
Private aviation?
Yes.
Yeah. Their FBO manager.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And
at Eagle, I'm sorry. Here. At Eagle. Oh,
no, here.
Oh, okay.
And he, because, you know, I personally feel that one of the big issues with our airport is too many private planes.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, and of course it's FBO manager, that
the FAA will not let you discriminate against one.
Exactly.
And what Sandra is saying about the HOV airplanes, I think that's a great way to put it to Pickens County, is let the commercial planes in.
It's the FAA makes the rules. When they're in the air, we can't make we make the rules on the ground. The FAA says they, and this has been litigated, they can't prioritize. They prioritize if you run out of fuel, you got a medical emergency, or mechanical.
Right.
That changes. But otherwise, get in line.
Yeah,
they can prioritize, I think, at takeoff, but not at landing.
Yeah. Pardon me?
They can prioritize at takeoffs, but not at landing.
On the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Part of the conversation, include...
Yeah.
We have... terrific possibility to expand private aviation in Rifle.
Yeah, but see, that's the question.
It's a possibility.
Well, I'm not saying I totally agree with you, but what I asked to try to get to that point was, you know, can you just send people to Rifle? And he said, no, they will land here, drop their people off, take off again. So
unless
you're increasing
unless they can't land here, unless they're in the
weather
mix,
alerted, right?
And they say, listen, we're going to divert to Garfield County for an hour and 10-minute ride rather than...
Right. But that's what I'm saying. There's no way for us...
dictate.
Okay, no. That would have been great if we could.
We can't dictate it,
but
I still
think
we should have a conversation.
See if there's any way in this planning that could... There's a way to do it from the ground.
And I think
Kurt.
Please, Kurt.
I was going to say, actually, we observed one plane doing similar to that. And actually, what they do is they come, they land, they drop people off, they fly spew exhaust for 30 to 45 minutes while they reprogram the plane for the next stop, and then they take off. So it almost seems like it's more impactful for someone to come and leave, because luckily it's not as bad.
Because they have to come back and leave again.
And they do it again.
Yeah. They got to make four to get somebody here.
And apparently these planes are so complex, you have to reprogram for, like, I don't know. Anyway, sorry, my quickly, actually, before you take that, I had two more
things. I'm actually going to put them up. Do you guys want to take, it's like we're almost close.
I want a copy to take home.
Taking photos so you can make wallpaper.
Can I add two more really quick?
Yeah, you can.
Zero emissions in 30 years.
Wait, hold on. Let me come over there and I'll do that. Because I'm going to have you guys... Does anybody need a break? Because I realize... Sorry.
It's almost 6 o'clock.
The clock
is going to break us.
I know. Well, I want to have everybody, as we wrap up when you leave, to just dot what I would say is your, you know, what vision you identify with the most. So if everybody could do that would be great.
On this?
Yeah. And I'll stand here because I kind of was all over the place, so I'm trying to make sure I got everybody's.
If possible, there's zero emissions in 30 years, and also the equity part of it is something that Ashley brought up was, you know, making everyone experience Aspen, and something you brought up was talking about GA. Well, GA currently is a totally separate airport.
Yeah.
And they, even if we did a bunch to immerse people in the public, you always book them in private.
Mm-hmm.
What if we had one single building for GA?
So get rid of that.
Get rid of the FBO or merge the FBO and force them to come with the little people.
Or tell them why, Cindy?
Proletariat like us.
Yeah.
Money. And then really
again,
kind of.
Money and also the
include
FAA,
them and include everyone.
FAA.
And make everyone equal.
A commercial terminal is a very different structure. TSA, on security, on and on. And a private, they're just. They're different animals.
Yeah, there's no TSA with
general
aviation.
Kirk and I were out there, the plane landed, the Hotel Jerome, you know, Suburban, drove up, they got off, they got their luggage, they drove from the tarmac. They didn't even go into the building.
Right.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I was appalled. It was gross.
You know, if we make them all land in Rifle and have them walk up here or take a bus or bicycle, there's a... Well, they'll be immersed in the Aspenites. By the time they get here, they'll be Aspenites for sure.
That's immersion. I said that once with the Shakes flying around. I said, so they can't drop a bomb from their private jet? What do you mean? There's no TSA for general aviation. And it's just...
Fly it
they don't have it. I mean, that's...
Oh,
inequitable. That's
they
wrong.
Could just fly into 20,000 people at the X Games. I mean, it's just...
It's one of the frustrations we have because we can't control GA. But from an environmental standpoint, is there a less efficient way on the planet that hauling two people in a private jet?
Sure. If they only send their dog, that's less efficient.
or just Christmas packages.
And they have that too.
They've done that too.
Or the flights that probably bring the luggage in.
You know, one thing that.
First.
Or the hookers.
I say 10 years there'll be flights just for luggage that will never travel with our baggage. I bet in 10 more years.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
One thing I think that we've heard a little bit, maybe that sort of. makes me excited is like the idea of, that we can really be innovative and world-class, and whether it's zero emissions or getting luggage to hotels, we're small enough that we could really change the way some things work around here. It's not, we're not trying to redo LaGuardia or Newark,
yeah.
right? They cut their servers in half by doing that, by the way. That's what the case study I read about Newark is, you know, they don't have, they have half the wait staff, less than half the wait staff. But I wonder what can we do to be this innovative, whether it's from a design perspective and flexibility and adaptable, but just to try new things that will let us be more the kind of place we want to be from an environmental perspective, from an efficiency perspective, from a welcoming perspective, whether it's immersion, as Ashley said. I thought all of that, and I think that for me, I would love for the professional airport planners to use that vision to say, mm-hmm. not what the way things are with TSA, but how could TSA function here differently? Because we're small enough that we might be able to make it happen.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. Like, I'd just be curious who would disagree with that, like, to be this model of efficiency and environmentalism and
comfort and welcoming and like all of these things. We could, I mean, we have the resources if you think about it, and we've got the scale. I think that
we'll make attainable for
right.
us to do that.
Rose, that's the key, is maintaining the scale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you wind up with a situation where you've got large international planes coming in right. as fast as they can, then you've lost what I think is our biggest sales asset in this community, is we're not a Vail. We're not like a lot of other places. But we can lose it in a hurry, and I think that's where Bill is coming from. If you make that next incremental step to allow a different kind of traffic than we're used to, you never go back from that. And then you begin to lose the character, which is what we're all about, of this community, by becoming more than we have been in terms of an airport.
Yeah, and I kind of think supply and demand takes care of a little bit of that. I mean, I think that having a 120 passenger plane come in instead of 276 passenger planes,
they don't really replace, one doesn't replace the other. It's in addition to.
But you don't know that.
It's an airport.
Well, I do because they're not going to fly a 737 from Denver to Aspen. There's still going to be people yeah. wanting to do that. And so there'll be another conversation about yeah. this, mm-hmm. but this is in addition to.
You don't know
not
that. Really.
You don't know that. Supply and demand will take care of that.
What I do know, it doesn't preclude it. It doesn't
yes.
preclude it. There's nothing to
it
preclude
doesn't,
it.
But it doesn't guarantee it.
Right.
It certainly doesn't guarantee it.
No, but supply and demand does.
But you guys have such great visions here that I think if you painted the picture of what you just said, Rose, and we drafted that out and mm-hmm. then start poking holes at it, saying, okay, can that be limited? Can that happen?
How can we make that happen?
I think that's a great place to start.
Me too.
Really quickly before we leave, so are you two going to take this information to the Vision Committee?
Yes.
How are you going to...
Good luck.
What is that story?
Tell your story to them just so we know what... Because we're not talking to them, so how are
yeah,
you
no, I'm actually just going to... I'm going to type up notes. And they can listen. The other thing, Cindy and I were talking earlier today, and so next Tuesday we have like another, you know, education session, and then we don't have another group meeting until June, and we, as your facilitators, are certainly open to meeting again if you guys feel like you want more of a discussion, like just open discussion-based meeting. With
if
just,
you need more time, then...
If you guys feel like we need more time, we're like...
Well, you know, it's interesting to me, after that last legal session we had, there was no debrief, there was no, what did you hear? I didn't hear that. Oh, I heard,
yeah.
That was
did
a lot.
Did you not, there are notes on the website.
That was a whole, I understand, it was a whole lot of fire hose of information.
Yeah.
And very hard to sort of
digest it
and spit it back and say, what really is he saying here? Yeah. Were those really threats about the clawback? And I mean, I heard things that some people didn't hear.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a fire hose of information. And
did you read? You can look at it. It's at a PDF.
The point is that we didn't talk about it.
But
how about this, you guys? I have a proposal because I looked at the calendar, and I don't know about you guys, but if we meet on the 7th, there's going to be all this information again. It's not the same you know, legal guy, but it's a planner guy who's going to tell us, okay, this is what growth looks like in the valley. This is what demand looks like. This is what infrastructure looks like. All that. And then the next night is the 8th. I am available the 8th or the 9th or the 13th, which is that next Monday. So the 7th is a
Tuesday.
Is it a Tuesday? So, So would you guys want to get together with all that fresh in your minds on a Wednesday or a Thursday or the following Monday?
Well, my wife would probably want me to get together a week after.
And we don't necessarily need to. I'd like, you know, everybody to want to do it, and you know, if you guys don't feel like we need to, and see how it goes next time.
I think more time is, at least for people who want to volunteer, but like I feel like this is 1% of the time we really need to do this already.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. More time is good. I just going to throw out, just real quick for planning, on the 13th that we're going to do at the Historical Society, I'm actually flying out of Aspen that day to go to New Orleans for a museum conference. So it'd be better to do it the week before the 13th, since I'll be there. Because then,
I don't have a conflict the week prior, so I will.
Except for your wife.
Yeah. I'll be out of town that whole time.
So I can do it on the 8th.
What did you say, Bob? You gone?
I'm gone the whole.
Yes, so am I. I'm going to New Orleans.
The 13th is really? A council meeting. So.
What happens at the June meeting? Is that just a breakout meeting?
No.
Because maybe we're okay to wait till June.
Actually, let me. Sorry.
Oh, we can do it later in May.
Bill, are you?
Oh, you know what? Sorry, there isn't a meeting in.
No, I don't. I drive.
It's July.
I drive to Denver.
Yeah. So it doesn't. So we don't have another meeting until July 11th.
We're going to LA. So later in May. Same deal.
Yeah, later in May.
So we can afford to do.
Okay.
Three dinners in LA.
There you go. Me too.
So I'll take later a private in May. Yeah, because this I know why we probably can't get rooms. You know, door hosters busy all.
So I offered this. Should we send out a Google calendar?
So.
Yeah, all our emails. Yeah.
No, but for the
so end of May or maybe even beginning of June.
Yeah. Well, okay. There's a point of not making. I think may not wait too long, so
okay.
We still right. have some recollection of the thing. But maybe later on, after some people return.
End of May.
Is everyone back? Like,
and end of May is actually not good for us because we have little kids in that end of school year. So like sort of in the middle of May, or we kind of skip to.
Yeah, I think in the middle of May or earlier, because as soon as this information gets away from us, I think the sooner we can do it, and you guys back presentation, the better we are.
So, Cindy, what would you ask?
I said,
would lunchtime?
The first half of May?
No,
does lunchtime work for
anything? Yeah.
So,
we could do it during.
I'm back the 23rd. So I'm gone.
Let me ask some questions real quick.
But I'm leaving the 13th.
Who could make the 8th?
Oh.
Okay. Who could make the 9th? Same group.
That's
it. This is like a catalog Google poll.
I know. It's like I can't actually.
Who could make the 13th? 14th? Okay.
I think you're looking at the 8th or 9th.
Yeah. It seems to be.
Or. Jump that next week would be like the 21st.
How about 21st, 22nd, 23rd?
23rd, I'm in. Raise a hand.
23rd, I'm in.
I could do 23rd.
How's everybody with the 23rd?
I could do 23rd much later. It gets really difficult.
Okay.
23rd, everybody?
I can do that.
And since we don't have a June meeting, that might be great.
Yeah.
So we might jump to tomorrow.
I'm flying in that day.
I don't need to. It seems like everyone else can make that, so. But if you guys want to use the museum meeting space, I will not be there unless it's in the evening, and then I'll probably be here.
But it'd be 4 to 6 like this?
I think we can talk about it, like, whenever. I mean, if lunchtime works better for people.
Four to six.
4 to 6 is
4 to 6.
4 to 6.
4 to 6 on the 23rd, is that what we just decided?
Yeah.
It's an excellent suggestion, because my sense is this process so far has been quite scripted and quite stilted. And we're going to have trouble, I think, getting with the limited number of meetings we have in the space between them, of all being at least, let's hope we get on the same page. And I would suggest an exercise after the 8th, because we're going to have to get to a design at some point. Our vision does affect the design. Is your vision an improved terminal? I think most people say yes.
Yeah.
Is it moving the runway 80 feet, but keeping it the same dimension.
Yeah, so the July 11th meeting, that is the theme, is brainstorming the vision. So everything up to that point.
But boy, I'm trying to do that in a meeting like that.
Yeah. But if we're prepared.
So I think it will be great if we can meet and like really start, you know. And again, like I really want to make sure that everybody understands like we're not looking for a consensus from this group. Like we really do want
to
hear.
And I think, the fleet mix. So like my question, I saw that when they said, okay, FAA is not going to let you touch runway separation length.
Yeah.
But he said they're less concerned about maximum landing weight. So suddenly it felt like, okay, well, there is a point of control. And then I asked the question, well, what are the non-discriminating ways against planes that you can argue landing weight down as a way to... And they said, well, when they do the fleet mix study, so if we say as this group, hey, here's our sort of perspective on potential fleet mix, like... Whatever it is that we say that we like, if we say, hey, we think the regional size plane is a good size community character fitting plane, who knows how they might be able to bring that to the fleet mix argument. And I'm not saying I'm necessarily taking that position, but I'm just saying maybe it's something that this group can put on the table, that we make a community character argument about aircraft size.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me ask another question. If we're going to get together on the 23rd, we will have heard, you know, the airport attorney guy. Now we will have heard the planner with all the growth and demand statistics. When we're in that meeting, we all will have filtered that information our own way. Should we invite to our meeting on the 23rd, resource experts to be in the room? We're not asking them to be part of our visioning process, but do we want to have those resource experts in the room?
I think that would be helpful.
Like, who would that be?
Well, I'm thinking maybe John Kinney, who's the airport director.
You know what? I think, okay.
No, I mean, should we or should we not?
Not Kinney.
Okay. Who else?
I'll tell you why if you want to hear.
Okay.
I would like to know, I think maybe Ellen brought it up, somebody brought it up. I want to know the current environmental issue. Like, where do they measure air quality? We asked this of...
I'd like to see that.
They are on their Pitkin County, like the airport site.
They measure
like,
at the airport.
At the airport
itself only.
Yeah. And that, I think that needs to be brought up to Pitkin County, to John Peacock, is why are they measuring at the North 40 neighborhood or at...
Because it's not the purview of the FAA.
Because the FAA said they didn't need to do it.
But it's the purview of Pitkin County.
That's the county. It's not Kenny's job.
But it's John Peacock's job.
Exactly.
No, but you can't use air quality to limit an FAA operation. That's the confusion.
I'm not asking for that. I just want numbers.
Baseline.
So that if we're having this conversation about bringing larger airplanes in or changing the runway size, we can say, how does it impact the numbers that we currently have?
That's going back to what you said.
So
I would say maybe we wait on, like, let's just meet as a group and maybe...
Before we bring the resource.
And maybe, like, later on.
I think we can begin to distill four or five questions that we need clarity on from an expert that has credibility. And
so maybe that should be our goal, is from, like, up to this point, you know, what questions that have we not... have answers to. What do we really need?
I would like to see numbers on air pollution at Powder Pandas, for one.
Yeah. And we've got to get it
on the 4th of July or on Thanksgiving, and we're running out of time.
Mm-hmm. And
I mentioned this, it was a year and a half ago when that EIS, when they accepted it. I said, we need these numbers. We need to know what the reality of the situation is right now. And they said, great idea. Thank you very much. We'll get back to you.
Right.
They've never gotten back to us. So I think we need to really say to the county commissioners, you owe it to the constituents to find out just what the reality is right now.
And I would just throw out there, because I like the way you're saying Powder Pandas because of the impact on the kids, but the way the prevailing winds are, it's not Powder Pandas that's getting affected. It's more the airport business center as a whole, depending on the prevailing winds.
Well, it should be in various places.
Oh, yeah, it could be a number of places.
Yeah. I'm just using that as a metaphor.
Okay, so that's like one thing that we're going to...
Agreed.
And noise. There's a single... The FAA requires a single point for noise, you know, by way of disclosure. I live I can count the rivets on the aircraft as they come over.
Yeah.
And so we need broader information about noise because, as far as the FAA is concerned, as I understand it, it's a single event.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't exceed that parameter, we're fine.
It's a single event, one, averaged.
On average. If it's,
yeah.
And 4th of July, if it's one after the other, after the other, after the after the other, it's a cumulative effect.
And those
it's not
damn
just
military
single.
Planes come over, and they're
yeah.
really loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Sandra.
And you're going to stop that, right?
Years ago, I went to the county commissioners, and because I was complaining about the stench on Sunday afternoons at the golf course,
mm-hmm.
and I live
mm-hmm.
on Cemetery Lane, and it stinks.
Yes.
And so I said, what about this? And they said to me, we don't control it, the FAA controls it. And I said, so then where's the EPA? Because it's mm-hmm. blowing it. So
we need, I think they just kind of outlawed the EPA, didn't they?
Yep.
So is that something
yeah, defunded it?
Should we reach out to the commissioners directly?
I don't think the numbers exist
right
now.
They don't exist
yeah.
right now.
So if we, like, we
so
have
we can ask.
Year-long process.
Yep.
We have the summer.
And Kirk, that goes back to my, what is the urgency here? Why do we have to do this this year? What's the big deal? We can take 5 years to do this. There's no emergency now.
Well, that's what they're asking us.
But so what? Tell
what?
Them. So what? Same. Sorry, we need 5 years. I
and
don't
that
care.
May be the end of this too.
You want 15,
clearly.
Right? You just want 15.
Yeah, I need 15. No, but there is no emergency to get this done in the next 10 months.
I guess that's my question. What was the emergency that started this process?
Well, there are some upgrades that have to happen right now that are for safety and whatever that are changing. So then I think
which are
right now. I think the maximum
definitely.
Flights a day right now that are coming in and out
yeah.
commercial
right.
are 41.
Right,
and that the airport can't handle that because
right.
that it has to work within a second of it. The terminal can't
yeah,
handle
yeah.
that.
So they're just like
it has to work within a second of its life,
yeah.
or you know they're starting to exceed fire number in the terminal because you can't
okay,
take.
Okay, you guys,
people.
I don't want to hold everybody because yeah. it seems like everyone
that
else
seems
is done. So when you're leaving, if you would just sticky dot, like maybe what is the most poignant part.